The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Much to my surprise, the Islamic scriptures and the Quran were actually far less bloody and less violent than those in the Bible. Then we turn to the Bible and we actually find something as for many people a real surprise. There is a specific kind of warfare laid down in the Bible, which we can only call genocide.
That's Dr. Philip Jenkins of Penn State University. He is author of the forthcoming book, Dark Passages, How Religions Learn to Forget Their Bloody Origins. Is it true that the Bible, at least the Old Testament, and the Quran, the Islamic scriptures, are comparable when it comes to their sanction of, their description of, even their call for violence and warfare and bloodshed? Many believe that they are morally equivalent with one another. Now, there's no doubt that the Quran calls for jihad, for a warfare. Some would say not a literal warfare, although recent history would argue against that. But what about the Bible? Read the Old Testament. You'll find all sorts of war, maybe even what Jenkins describes as genocide. Is it true? We're going to talk about the Bible, the Quran, and violence with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll spend the first half of today's program talking with Christian apologist Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Then we'll continue our series with Dr. Jean Edward Veith on Reformation theology. Today we'll discuss the spirituality of ordinary life. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 23rd. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including his Tractatus Logico Theologicus. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
Has Christianity either forgotten or covered up its bloody, even perhaps even genocidal past?
Well, if it attempted to do this, it certainly wouldn't succeed because of critics like Jenkins. There are plenty of non-Christians about who want to find in the Bible evidence of immoral conduct and particularly genocidal kind of conduct. Years ago, when I debated Bishop Pike, the late Bishop Pike, at McMaster University in Canada, a Toronto Star journalist asked me if he could interview me. I didn't realize he was a close friend of Pike's, and he asked me about the wars in the Old Testament. And I explained very, very carefully. I said, you've got to understand this. You've got to listen very closely. The fact of the matter is that the tribes surrounding Israel at that time were perfectly dreadful. They engaged in all sorts of hideous activities, and what God Almighty did was to attempt to isolate the children of Israel so that they would not be corrupted by these practices, child murder, all sorts of hideous things like this. And in order to do this, it was necessary, as it were, to put Israel in an isolation ward, and that involved warfare against these surrounding peoples. And I said the purpose of this was to keep Israel as a chosen people for the coming of Messiah. And even with all of these efforts, Israel, by the time of Christ, had diminished, the true Israel had diminished to just a very small number of people who understood what the coming of Messiah meant. People like Zechariah and Anna in the temple at the time of the birth of Christ. Well, following day, a picture of me in the Toronto Star, and under it, Montgomery advocates genocide. So, from that point on, I have been convinced that journalists are encased in ice at the center of Dante's Inferno, along with Judas, Cassius, and Brutus.
Aside from your experience with that particular Canadian journalist, and I trust he was a Canadian journalist, then how do we explain, this is shocking if you sit down and actually read the narratives in the Old Testament of what God requires of his people, and then also what the people do actually carry out. In fact, they don't even go as far as God would require them to go. Are they mere description? How does the application of this in the Old Testament carry over, if at all, into the New Testament? All those questions, Dr. Montgomery.
Well, this, as I was trying to explain, was a special situation having to do with the chosen people that had to be kept as an existing entity, and this would not have occurred under any other circumstances. And you must understand here that that doesn't create a model for wars in the future, in any sense of the word. This is a single instance historically, and that's what Jenkins, of course, doesn't understand. Another scholar in this area, a gentleman by the name of Andrew Bostrom, has called the analysis of Jenkins preposterous. This author, Bostrom, who has done a work entitled The Legacy of Jihad, has said this, that there's a major difference between the Bible, which describes the destruction of an enemy at a point in time, and the Quran, which urges an ongoing struggle to defeat unbelievers, to prevent apostasy, and to keep people from holding to any other religious position than Islam. Nothing like that has existed in Christianity, and one of the obvious evidences of this is the fact that there aren't any Christian suicide bombers. The only suicide bombers are those within a different religious frame of reference.
So what does the Quran actually mandate for those who would take it seriously?
Well, verses Surah 9, 1 through 11, makes it perfectly clear that jihad, martyrdom, is to be encouraged. This is the highest form of jihad, to kill and be killed in order to preserve and extend Islam. Now, there isn't anything like that in the Bible at all. There's nothing where Christians are exhorted to engage in that kind of activity. The way in which Christianity spreads is by a free and open preaching of the gospel. And the New Testament insists that this be a personal decision. Billy Graham's Hour of Decision, decision is critical to this. People can't be dragged into Christianity. They've got to have an opportunity to consider the cross of Christ and determine whether they want to save themselves or whether they're willing to see that they can't save themselves, and that there's only one way of salvation, and that comes about through what God has done in Christ.
And the I guess some might say the New Testament, and I wonder if this is correct, they'd say, well, the New Testament kind of trumps the Old Testament, whereas the Old Testament is full of violence. Jesus calls for peace and a cessation of these kinds of things. Is that too simplistic a way of thinking about how
we deal with
the Old Testament?
I'm afraid it is, because it's the same God in both Testaments, and Jesus identifies himself with the God of the Old Testament. The difference is that once Messiah has come, then the extent of God's operation widens out. In the New Testament, we have the presentation of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that means that we're no longer operating with the necessity of maintaining a chosen people as such. What we're doing now is to spread this message of salvation, which has come about through the Messiah, across the globe. And that spreading of the message doesn't take place by warfare in any sense of the word. And as a matter of fact, those wars of the Old Testament were not for the purpose of converting. They were for the purpose of preserving the Israelites from absorption into absolutely abominable cultures around them.
So with about a minute before we take our first break, Dr. Montgomery, when a suicide bomber strikes here or elsewhere, when an act of terrorism is carried out and responsibility is claimed by a Muslim group in the name of Islam, they are being consistent with the teachings of the Quran?
Sure they are. Of course they are. And naturally, our statesmen, our politicians today, don't want to admit this because we're so desperate not to alienate the mild average Muslim in the West who has accommodated himself to Western values. And so what we try to do is to say, well, these are fundamentalists. They're not the real Muslims. But the fact of the matter is that if you're consistent with the Quran, that kind of thing is perfectly understandable.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him on the Bible, the Quran, and violence. It's Tuesday afternoon, March the 23rd. Dr. Montgomery is professor emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He serves as distinguished research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, and he's author of more than 50 books, including Tractatus Logico Theologicus. Stay tuned. More on the Bible, the Quran, and violence with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. Issues Etc.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
What happens is in all religions, as they grow and mature and expand, they go through a process of forgetting of the original violence. And I call this a process of holy amnesia.
Dr. Philip Jenkins of Penn State University, author of the forthcoming book, Dark Passages, How Religions Learn to Forget Their Bloody Past, talking about this kind of an amnesia. Is that what has happened with Christianity? Forgotten or spiritualized or somehow mollified its bloody past? We're talking about the Bible, the Quran, and violence. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. Now, if you've got a question or a comment about the Bible, the Quran, and violence, give us a call. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Montgomery, there are those who have carried out violence in the name of Christ in the past and to a much lesser degree in the present. But let's deal with the perennial objection that will be raised here, and that is the Christian Crusades. Were they not, in a sense, a Christian jihad carried out in the name of the Bible and of Christianity?
Well, listeners ought to get a hold of a work by a gentleman called Robert Spencer, S-P-E-N-C-E-R. This is not his real name, and considering the fact that he writes anti-Islamic materials, from a scholarly standpoint, it's understandable that he doesn't reveal his name because he'd be in deep trouble if he did. One of his books is entitled The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and that's obtainable through Amazon.com. And in this work, he argues very effectively that the Crusades were actually defensive conflicts. They were defensive conflicts. They were not a jihad type of operation whatsoever. The purpose was to make the Holy Land available to Christian pilgrims and to maintain it as such. But as Islamic power grew in the Near East, these crusaders had to be eliminated. And the irony of this is, of course, that the Crusades are often understood in just the opposite fashion. Our friend Jenkins says the Islamic scriptures and the Quran were actually far less bloody and less violent than those in the Bible, and therefore, by extension, there is more blood in Christian history than in Islamic history. Well, I mean, this is just nonsense. And in any way, the issue is not the quantity of blood, the amount of blood per cubic inch. The issue is the reason why it's been spilled. And in the case of Islam, it's been spilled for conversion, and to prevent any kind of apostasy. And this is the reason why Article 9 of the Civil and Political Covenant of the United Nations, it guarantees the right to change your religion. This has been ignored in Muslim countries, and there are no regional human rights systems in operation in any part of the world where Muslims predominate, not in the Near East, not in the Far East. Countries like Singapore and so forth. And the reason for this is that if there were regional human rights systems, they would protect people's right to change their religion. And Islam will not allow this. Islam is inherently anti-conversion from Islam. It's against an open society.
Real quickly, what about the violence perpetrated during the Inquisitions of the medieval time, or in our American context, very early American context, the so-called Salem witch trials, which were also at times violent in the name of Christianity?
Well, I've argued in an essay that appears in my book, The Law Above the Law, that the inquisitional trials were based upon an understanding of Roman law, which was antithetical to the Anglo-American common law, which has a much stronger biblical and Christian basis. When the inquisitors engaged in their quasi-legal procedures, assuming people were guilty unless proven innocent and that sort of thing, they went against biblical principles. There's that old Southern adage, all dimmed, it's talking about heaven ain't necessarily a going there. and all those who claim that their actions are in accord with Christianity are not necessarily telling you what is actually the case. What we have to do is to evaluate what people who claim to be Christians are doing by the standards of Holy Scripture. And if what they do contradicts what Jesus tells us we ought to be doing, then they are Christian only in name. They are fellow travelers. They are not people who ought to be models for the name of Christ, and Christianity doesn't deserve to be criticized because people like that are around.
Dr. Montgomery, we spoke last week with Masab Hassan Youssef. He's son of one of the founders of Hamas. He's co-author of a new book called Son of Hamas, Converted to Christianity, Left Islam. I'd like to get your reaction to something he had to say about the Quran and violence.
We need to challenge Muslims. Either they cancel those verses from the Quran, or the Quran has to be a legal book on the American soil. Because if I go today and try to publish a book that I'm saying, if you don't believe in what I'm saying, I ask my followers to kill you. Can I publish such a book in our world, in our modern world, in this country? Absolutely not. So why Muslims distribute the Quran everywhere? Institutions, universities, libraries, mosques, everywhere they have their Quran. So what we need from them to show us if they have the authority to approve, first of all, they can change those verses from the Quran, which I tell you from now, they can't. Otherwise, Quran has to be banned on the American soil.
Your thoughts, Dr. Montgomery?
Well, I would not want to have the Quran banned. I happen to be anti-banning books. And in this sense, even though I live in Europe, where there are laws, for example, against the publication of Hitler's Mein Kampf and that sort of thing, in spite of this, in that respect, I remain thoroughly American. I believe in an open society where people can read anything, as long as, of course, it isn't promoted in such a way as to cause violence in the society. I think that even the most hideous ideas ought to be refuted by better reasoning in the public marketplace. So I am not a censorship person. On the other hand, the gentleman quoted, who by the way, has done an absolutely thrilling story, and I hope people will buy his book, he is quite correct that the Quran is a work that promotes violence. Now, there are an awful lot of books in history that have promoted violence. Machiavelli's Il Principe at the time of the Renaissance, and some of the writings of Bismarck and so on. This stuff is obnoxious, but I don't think the answer to this is to suppress it. I think the answer to it is to refute it.
And then how would you respond to someone who says, look, Islam has, in many ways, shed its violent past? Yes. There was a lot of warfare at the very beginning. There were calls for things. But these are historical artifacts of Islam, and that the vast majority of Muslims do not participate in terrorist acts or jihad or anything like that. And the more westernized Islam gets, the more civilized and therefore peace-loving it becomes. And it can still hold on to the Quran. Your response with less than a minute.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that the more westernized the Muslim becomes, the less dangerous he is. But that is only because he is picking up Western ideals, and these Western ideals come directly from the historic Christian tradition. So the answer to this, therefore, is to endeavor to present the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ and the saving message that is at the heart of Christianity to the Muslim as well as to everybody else. We're to preach the gospel to every creature, and to the extent that people in other religions move in the direction of Christianity, to that extent the society becomes more healthy in every respect.
Dr. Montgomery, before we let you go, you're the director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, held each summer in Strasbourg, France. With about 30 seconds, tell us about the academy.
Well, it's the only Institute of Advanced Studies in Apologetics anywhere in the world. It's a wonderful two-week program with four of the foremost apologists in the world teaching. We limit ourselves to 20 to 25 people. There are a couple of places still available for this coming summer, but people would have to act very, very rapidly in order to participate in this. It takes place in the French Rhineland. It is not expensive. And it provides an opportunity to learn to answer the most basic and important objections to Christian faith that are presented by unbelievers. So it can be a great asset to one's evangelism, no matter what one's profession or career.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and Dr. John Wark Montgomery's books under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Dr. John Wark Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, distinguished research professor of philosophy and Christian thought at Patrick Henry College, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Tractatus Logico Theologicus. Dr. Montgomery, thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
And when we come back, Dr. Gene Edward Veith continues with us, part four of our six-part series on Reformation theology. Today, the spirituality of ordinary life.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
How are sinners declared righteous before a holy God? Where can we find the presence of God today? How can I discover God's will for my daily life? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Check it out at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward V.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Consequences of Technology.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
While IVF technology has given thousands of couples hope in the midst of infertility, the related moral questions continue to mount. As Albert Moeller points out in his article, The Disposition Decision, we have created a moral context of quicksand that is the inevitable consequence of producing far greater numbers of embryos than are ever intended to be transferred to a mother's womb. What's the future of these tiny human beings? And who decides what will happen to them? Only a fraction of them will be given a chance at life. Tune in next time for more.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.